Welcome to another episode of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. I started this show to talk about all of the interesting, complex, paradoxical, and sometimes uncomfortable aspects of the human experience. If you get anything from this show, the greatest compliment you could give me is to share this show with somebody that you think the message may resonate with, or to head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Additionally, if you want to interact with me, you can follow me at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram. Without further ado, on to the show. Welcome back to Morning Coffee. Today I'm kicking off a brand new series called Where the Modern Person Stumbles. And if you've noticed in my work, I am trying to zoom out of my own life and I'm trying to look at culture as a whole. Because one of the things that I've really come to find in the last year specifically, as groupthink has become so pervasive in our culture, or at least it's come to my attention to such a degree, that I realize we really don't understand in many instances the degree to which our thinking is influenced by the culture that we live. And so it's so hard to tell an original thought because we're so embedded in our culture. And usually people don't understand the actual culture that they live in, right? So it's not like in the Dark Ages, they called themselves the Dark Ages, right? And I think we tend to say that we're in the postmodern era, but I think maybe like 1,000 years from now, I think they might say that the Dark Ages went on a bit longer than we think. The reason I cue this episode up in this way is to say that there are ways in which we all tend to think in very similar places. And so if you look at our lives, we all tend to stumble in very similar ways. And when I talk about stumbling, I mean, let's say that we all want to actualize our potential in this life and we want to live lives of fulfillment and contentment and growth. Well, what are the stumbling blocks to that? Today, I'm going to talk about letting go. I'm going to tell a quick parable, and then we'll chat a little bit at the end of it. And hopefully, you'll get the lesson buried in this. There once lived a man who had carried a wooden bucket with him his entire life. The bucket was filled with water, living water, he called it. He'd carefully ladle water from his bucket to drink when he was thirsty, and he would scoop his hands into the water to splash his face when he was fatigued. Occasionally, he'd use some of the water from his bucket to share with others, and would even pour some of it out to water dry plants and fruit trees. Mysteriously, the water never ran out. There always seemed to be enough. But still, it was heavy, and the handle would cut into his hand. And the splintered sides of the wooden bucket would rub against him and cut open his legs. Furthermore, the heavy bucket kept him from climbing up to the peaks of the nearby mountains and prevented him from blazing new trails. But he felt it was worth it because he had his living water. Then one day, he came upon a great cliff. He looked over its edge to discover that his long journey had brought him to the ocean. This was the first time he'd ever seen the ocean, and he was astounded. He couldn't fathom its depth, nor the breadth of its reach across the face of the earth. And then it hit him. The water contained in his bucket was only a tiny portion of all the water that was. It was just a sampling of what was infinitely more available and discoverable. Without thinking, he poured a small portion of water from his bucket of water out over the edge of the cliff. He watched as the wind transformed it into a mist and carried it gently down to become part of the pulsing sea. He couldn't explain this impulse. Perhaps it only seemed appropriate that he should return a bit of the living water to its source. The act nearly moved him to tears and filled him with a sense of awe and grandeur. It felt sacramental in a way. It felt like his way of acknowledging the sacredness of all water, not just the water in his particular bucket. He repeated the act over and over, and then the bucket was empty. For the first time, he felt a sense of lightness in his body. The handle of the bucket hung lightly from his calloused fingers, and his shoulders felt free and unburdened. For the first time, he saw that his bucket was merely a bucket, a simple vessel. The bucket itself wasn't anything special. What the bucket contained, on the other hand, was very special. But at this moment, there also came a sadness, for his bucket was now empty. How would he refresh himself? How would he satiate his thirst? While he contemplated these questions, he caught a glimpse of a steep trailhead nearby that led up the mountainside. He had never even considered taking such a path because a heavy bucket had always prevented him from doing so. But now it was empty, and he felt untethered from taking it. Taking advantage of his newfound freedom, he decided to set his bucket down and follow the path to see where it would lead. His arms swung freely as he purposefully climbed the steep rock trail that he had never been free to climb before. One might wonder why he had never set down his bucket before in order to explore. But simply put, he was always worried about leaving his bucket unattended, in fear that someone else might take it for themselves or knock it over and spill his living water. And although he would not likely admit it, he was so attached to his bucket that he could never bring himself to walk away from it, not even for a moment. One might also wonder, what was this man more attached to, the bucket or the water that it contained? He eventually reached the summit, where he slowly turned around in a circular motion to take in the view. For his whole life, he had always stuck to the steady, flat terrain where there was little risk of spilling or damaging his bucket. This made the mountaintop experience all the more spectacular. A subtle panic crept in, however, as he swallowed, realizing that his throat was parched and his mouth was dry. "My bucket," he said in a soft, sad, and raspy voice. Just then, the sky darkened, the wind picked up, and it began to rain. He quickly looked for a place to hide, which he had also done before to keep the rain from diluting his living water, or so he thought. Realizing his folly, he instead turned his face upward and allowed the rain to fall upon his lips. He cupped his hands together and allowed the rain to fill them. He sipped from his receptive palms and then splashed the water onto his face. It cleansed the dirt and sweat from his face in the same way that the water from his bucket did. It satiated his thirst in the same way the water from his bucket did. And it cooled and refreshed him just the same. He was filled with gratitude. It was one of those quick and short rains, for the sun and heat returned almost as quickly as the clouds had come. He headed back down the trail to collect his bucket and figure out what to do next. The steep climb down the mountain left him almost as parched as the climb up did. But he had no means of filling his bucket. There was, however, a river, deep down in a ravine that flowed into a nearby ocean. He couldn't believe he'd never noticed it before. Since he always had his bucket of water with him, he figured he must have never bothered to look for water anywhere else. The river shimmered with beauty, and its fresh water enticed him. But it would be nearly impossible to climb down to it with a bucket in hand. The ravine was steep and dense with brush and foliage. Even if he was able to get down to the river with his bucket, there'd be no way he could get back up with a full one. He'd have to leave the bucket behind again to access the water he needed to survive. In due time, he reached the river's edge where he satiated his thirst and bathed in its rushing water. He looked up at his surroundings from the bottom of this valley. It was beautifully lush and dense with life. He'd never seen the world from this vantage point. This made him wonder what else he was missing out on by never leaving the flat, safe path that enabled him to cling so tightly to his bucket. He then had another epiphany. He realized that the water he had kept in his bucket wasn't any different from the water that was all around him. It was all living water, and it was everywhere. Even if the water that he poured into the ocean from his precious bucket was special, it would eventually be gathered up into the clouds and rained back down upon him, upon the earth, and into the very river that he drank from. He realized that the bucket itself and his protectiveness over it was the very thing preventing him from noticing and accessing living water in other ways. Now that he had left his bucket behind, he started to see living water everywhere. There were little drops of living water hanging from the tips of every leaf that surrounded him. There was living water roaring over a cliff as a waterfall up ahead. Small streams of living water trickled down rocky riverbeds to join in the river dance. More dark clouds were gathering overhead, preparing to release living water from the sky. As he stood knee-deep in the river, he realized that the living water he had tried so hard to contain and protect was quite wild, uncontainable, and present in all things, and in places he had never imagined. He took another long sip of water from his receptive palms and gave thanks. Today, he no longer carries his bucket with him, but he still carries living water with him everywhere that he goes. You know, in some ways, our world's as abundant as it's ever been. You know, your opportunity to do whatever it is that you want to do is, the barrier to entry is at least lower than it's ever been, we might say that. But in another way, the modern person really tends to live with scarcity. You ever hear someone with a business idea and they want to tell you, but they say, well, you can't tell anyone. But what they don't realize is that anybody that's out executing on businesses is already executing on their own ideas. We tend to hold on really tightly to what we have because we're afraid that we're not going to get it back. And I think what that parable tells us is that the things that we want, actually the things that we need, they're surrounding us all the time. As Rob Bell likes to say, the universe is rigged in favor of your growth, but you've got to let go, right? You've got to let go of what you're holding on to. You've got to let go of the societal narrative that tells you you need more. Oh, you're not successful. Just get more, do more, have more. Even though your soul is probably saying less, less, less. Maybe it's time to listen to the soul, to let go, to just let yourself be part of it all. The modern person really tends to stumble when they hold on really tightly to what they have because they're too afraid that they're never going to get anything else again. But the truth is, you're a finite creature in an infinite universe. And so the things that you want and the things that you need, they're surrounding you 24/7. But you'll never see that if you don't let go of what you're holding on to. Another way of saying this might be, in your future, you're definitely meant for much more, but you'll never access it if you don't let go of what you've already had, who you've already been, what you've already gone through. The only thing static in this world is death, right? Everything that's alive is evolving through time, and that includes you. So let go, let yourself evolve, let yourself open up to what's all around you. You might find that that's a different kind of life entirely. You might find that that's an adventure worth being on. I love you guys. Have an amazing day. We'll talk later on Morning Coffee.